You're listening to The TP Cast,
the official podcast of Thomas Productions, Inc.
Here we discuss all of our latest videos, as well as other topics such as movies, gaming news, machinima, and so much more. So fasten your seatbelts, because it's time for The TP Cast. And now, here are your very gracious hosts, Lane, Kevin, and Kyle.
Hello and welcome to TPCast episode number 83. Hello, as usual, I am Lane.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Kyle.
I hope you can tell the difference between our voices by now.
I know, some people think we sound exactly the same.
But so. We don't. Yeah. So, we're here putting out our yearly podcast, it seems.
We should try and do it daily now.
That is hell on earth.
Okay. Especially for this one.
Kyle just pointed to me, by the way.
Kyle, remember, this is not visual.
What?
This is aural.
Are you telling me the whole time we've been doing podcasts, it's only audio?
No, we've done a couple
live streams. You didn't have to dress up for this.
He's in a tuxedo. He's sweating bad.
Yeah.
He walked in the door. It cost me $300 to rent this just for this.
He walked in the door and pigeons flew out and now they're dead.
And it's one of those frilly ones too. So it like is collecting all the sweat and everything.
That's why I have my shirt off. Lane, how buff am I right now? I look really good, don't I?
12 packs?
12 packs.
12 packs. Are there more underneath? Like
there's some on the back.
Wow. I guess that is possible.
Yeah.
So, the last time we did one of these was about a year ago, and the last time before that we did it was about a year ago. And
2 years ago.
Yeah.
and the one before that was about 3 years ago.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So, for those occasions, we were doing our yearly Thomas Productions Movie Awards, where we have you guys vote on, you know, like,
all
which of our videos...
the movies that came out.
Which of our videos you liked the best. That's not happening this year. We're...
Why is that, Lane?
TPMAs are taking a break because we haven't really put out anything.
Well, you could make the argument that we have put out some stuff. It's just kind of like update videos. The way this is going to be an update podcast.
Which update video do you like the best? Just go out and vote.
I think my favorite was probably the second one. That's the one I would have voted for.
Okay. I can't remember that.
Or there was the announcement video. But that was... Would that count for this year? No, that would
that
be...
That was 2015.
Yeah, that wouldn't have counted.
Yeah.
So what do you guys want to hear? You want to hear us talk about the Marlin movie? Because guess what? That's what's been taking up all of our time. And that's why we haven't put out any other videos.
Yeah.
Is it ever going to come out? Yeah.
Yeah, it would. It will. Since the last podcast, we announced that, you know, it was coming out in 2016, that it was coming out in 2017. I have some unfortunate news. No, I'm just kidding. It's coming out 2017.
Well,
definitely.
It's 2017 now.
You could
so
say there is unfortunate news in that it's not coming out within the next couple of weeks. You're going to have to wait a little longer, but it will be this year.
And... it is, and I'm being serious here, it's really almost done. I mean, Lane, would you say you're working on the last little bit of things that you need to do?
I'd say, from my opinion, it's a little bit more than that, but you know what? I think we'll get into that. Let's leave them waiting.
Well, you know,
them wanting more.
We talked about in our last update video the, what's it called? Like the checklist thing that we have?
Yeah.
And
the spreadsheet,
and you could use that as a gauge in terms of how many boxes are checked, and that equals a percentage kind of mm-hmm. how far through we are. And last time we came over here, I think we had it at about 83, if I remember, which
that's not really a good
It's not totally accurate because
some
things take a lot longer to do than others,
mm-hmm. and I think these last ones we're working through faster than the other ones, because we're not doing anything. Lane's doing everything, and he's doing well, I must say. Good job, Lane.
Thank you. But, like I said, let's hold on this. Let's leave the audience in suspense.
Okay.
Lots been going on since our last podcast.
But we will get back.
But if you don't want to be left in suspense, skip to the 20-minute mark. No, I'm kidding.
So, as of the time that we're recording this, the E3 2017 just happened. What did you guys think? Was there anything that stood out to you?
Yes. Before we get on that, I just want to say, for the last... See, it's 2017. We got our Xbox 360 in 2007. So for the last 10 years, I have been paying attention to pretty much only the Microsoft conference because I only had Xbox products. On Black Friday last year, Kevin and I bought ourselves a PlayStation 4.
Not the PS4 Pro.
Right. The slim.
We're not rich people.
Yeah. We got.
No, we're rich. We just don't. We're not that hardcore. Okay.
So we saved a little money. Went for the slim one, and so this is the first year that I was sort of paying attention to both of them, and I have to say, I was the PlayStation one was maybe a little bit disappointing for me, but the Xbox one was pretty awesome. Like, well, I was telling Kevin, nothing really jumped out at me as amazing, but there was some cool stuff.
Well, since you touched on the Sony conference, let's just say quickly, when we got our PS4, Kyle played through the Naughty Dog games. He played all 4 Uncharted's and he played The Last of Us. Mm-hmm. I only played one game. I played Horizon Zero Dawn. I loved it. I'm an Xbox dude, right? I've been playing Xbox, like Kyle said, for 10 years. Horizon Zero Dawn, PS4 exclusive, I will say it is the best looking game I've ever played. Better looking than every Xbox game I've played or seen Kyle play. Best graphics. And an amazing game. I really loved it. And at the Sony conference, they showed off a preview for a new DLC, which I'm excited about.
Now, speaking of graphics, when Xbox had their conference, I think the most realistic-looking games, 2 games that they showed off, the most realistic-looking graphics I've ever seen were the new Forza and Anthem. I thought it looks better than Horizon Zero Dawn. It looked better than Halo 5. It looked better than Uncharted 4, which was, up to that point, probably the most impressive graphics I'd seen.
I want to know what Kyle and Lane, you guys think of Anthem, because that's a BioWare game, and you guys were the BioWare, at least Mass Effect.
They're the BioWare boys.
It's hard to tell just because we've seen so little of it. I have to say I'm intrigued, but it reminds me of Destiny, and I was not the biggest fan of Destiny's style of, like, you know, campaign where better to play with friends, whatever. I like playing by myself, so...
Mm-hmm.
If they do that style of thing, I think I'm not going to be as interested in it. But it looks fun and it looks cool visually.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I definitely drew the Destiny comparisons. I'm sure all of you know I was really looking forward to Destiny and bought the deluxe edition, but I kind of fell off after.
Wait, it wasn't a waste of money?
You know, I'll eat my deluxe edition on that one. It was just because all of the, you know, like the $40 DLCs and stuff. And as soon as that came out, like if you had the older version, like all the stuff, like you're working to get all of your like guns and stuff up to a certain level. And then as soon as the, you know, the new DLC comes out, with starting weapons that are automatically starting at that high level and then working up from there, it just kind of made me stop and go, why am I putting in all this effort trying to level this stuff up when a $40 expansion is going to come out and all of the work that I put in is just not going to matter too much.
And people are still angry with Destiny 2 that it's everything on PlayStation happens first. And I get that that's not Bungie's decision. That's sort of Sony and Activision making a partnership. But the people who play on Xbox are paying full price for a less than full game, which is very disappointing. And I have to say, I probably will not get Destiny 2.
Yeah, so...
I can tell you right now, I will not.
Yeah.
So that's what turned me off on Destiny. So for Anthem, I would probably, you know, wait and see what's their you know, kind of release schedule going to be like. And if it's going to be similar to Destiny, which has gone, you know, the full, like, MMO route with these expansions, then I probably wouldn't be interested in investing time in it. Now, Battlefront. I know, Battlefront 2, they showed new footage from that.
I didn't pay too much attention to that. Did they announce, like, a story mode, or is it still just multiplayer?
Yeah, so it's... They're having a single-player story mode with that. And also, they showed some multiplayer footage, which I think looks a lot more like the original Battlefront games.
Now,
in terms of
the three
how
of
they
us,
look and their style.
The three of us had a lot of fun with that. We played it on GameCube, right?
I think that was
I
the
was
Xbox,
Xbox.
The original
okay.
Xbox.
Yeah, I remember we used to have a lot of fun playing on the Kashyyyk map, and then there was the space, like the space...
Space battles.
It?
There was a,
yeah,
a Gungan
with,
map.
With
yeah.
With, like, spaceships and stuff. And we had a lot of fun doing that. Like, having a sleepover and then waking up in the morning and playing,
yeah.
like, on the Coruscant map.
Those
were
the days.
So the new footage is on, like, a Naboo map. So it's very much like that Gungan map. That was in Battlefront 2. So, and they also announced that all their DLC is going to be free, pretty
I
much.
I love that everyone's doing that now. Yeah,
it started
this is
with,
like, the greatest
It started
decision.
With Halo 5, didn't it?
That was definitely one of the major
I think that's so awesome,
games.
Because that's totally, you know, doing the opposite of what Bungie's doing, in that you pay full price for the game. And then you just get everything that comes along with it. You
Didn't
don't have
Ubisoft
to pay more to get more stuff.
Some other company, I think it may have been Ubisoft, said something like, we're going to do something similar. Or all, like, story content or something is going to be free. Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm definitely paying.
I'd gladly have that become the new norm. And I'd even, you know, put up with microtransactions and stuff if we get, you know, like, all this free stuff.
Yeah, and what's interesting is that with Halo 5, you know, they're giving away all the DLC for free, and then there are all those little microtransactions, but they're not keeping any of that money. They're giving it away during the Halo Championships.
I'm not sure
I mean, they
completely about that. I know a big portion of that is the championships.
And also, the Microsoft microtransactions don't... Like, you can just play straight through the game without paying, and it's not like... You don't have an advantage, right?
By the way, I watched an interview with Phil Spencer, the head of Xbox, the other day, and he said that he was at 343, like, last week, and that he said that he's seen that they're doing great things with, like, what you can do with the Xbox One X. But he said, you know, with this E3 conference, they wanted to keep everything about what's going on this year, so that's why they didn't show off anything like Halo or Gears, but that he's seen that they're working on something, and it's going to be really cool.
Now, that raises an interesting question. Do you think that we'll be getting pretty much the next Halo game in 2018?
I do. Probably. I think if you pay attention to... Think about this. It was Halo 1 was 2001. Then they released him for the next 3 years. It was 3 years later, Halo 2. 3 years later, Halo 3. 3 years later, Halo Reach. So I would assume it's, you know, 2015, right? It was Halo 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 years later, 2018. That makes sense.
Yeah. I know they've definitely come out and said, like, we realize that Halo games need a 3-year cycle. But if it means that we would get a more well-rounded single player and a story for the next Halo game, I'd be okay if they held it back.
Well, they've already said that they understand that once they switched to 343, the story got really convoluted and they introduced a ton of confusing stuff and people didn't really like not playing as the Master Chief. And so they said with the next game that they're doing, it's going to be a simpler story and you're only going to play as the Master Chief.
Yeah.
All right.
They said the same thing Bungie did going from Halo 2 to Halo 3.
Yeah.
Let's get back to E3.
Right, so Kevin was talking about Xbox One X. Did you have something else to say?
Well, I guess we can talk about Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
I
Kyle and I have a 4K HDR TV. Again, like I said, we're rich, right? We're not rich. But
all our money goes to entertainment and food.
Yeah. So we got the Xbox One S when it came out, just because I was thinking, like, at that time, oh, we can, you know, we have this TV now. We can wait for when Scorpio comes out. But I don't really want to wait. You know, I want 4K HDR content now. So we got one thinking, well, when Scorpio comes out, I'm calling Scorpio because that's what we were saying at the time. When Scorpio comes out, we can trade this back in and then get the new one. And once they announced this one, and it's not upscaled 4K, it's true 4K, you know, and I, you know, if you listen, you probably know I love Assassin's Creed, and the new Assassin's Creed looks great in 4K.
Forza.
They showed up Forza 7. Kyle.
Anthem is going to look good.
Kyle plays the Forza games. That looked amazing. And it also, you know, it's going to be HDR, which looks great. And, yeah, seeing Anthem look great in 4K. So, yeah, to have true 4K, yeah, I think Kyle and I talked about it. We're going to get one.
Of course, we're going to have to give up our old ones, but yeah, that's okay. And we need the space, too. Hopefully, it comes with a lot of space.
I was expecting it to be big, but it's even smaller than the Xbox One S, which is really cool.
Yeah, it looks about the size of, like, a regular iPad.
Yeah, my MacBook Pro, I have the 13-inch one. It looks like it's that.
That footprint?
Yeah. I was thinking, Lane, you are probably not going to get it, at least anytime soon, I would imagine.
You are correct.
Yeah. Now, do you think maybe someday down the line, maybe?
It's always possible.
You probably have to have a 4K TV first.
Yeah.
If you're wondering how Kyle and I have all this stuff, it's because, think about it, everything is half off for us. I buy half of it, Kyle buys the other half. That's, yeah, mm-hmm. That's how we get.
Yeah. So. Stuff. I'm definitely going to hold off on the X. I don't have a 4K TV, so without that, there's not really much incentive for me to do that. Unless, I think, without a 4K TV, the only thing that would get me to go for the Xbox One X would be if the next Halo game, you know, came out and it was showing, like, there's substantial, like, gameplay improvements.
Now, that was something somebody brought up, like an IGN person was talking about the Xbox One X and said, it's not going to happen anytime soon, but I wonder if down the line they'll release games that are exclusive to that console because they just can't run on anything.
I think that would be cool, but I have a feeling they're not going to do that for a long time.
I think that's a bad idea because it leaves a lot of people out in the cold. But it would be interesting, maybe like, not a full $60 game, but maybe like a demo that you can play just to show the power of the console. I just thought of that right now.
All right, moving on. Lane, I want to ask you. You said, was there anything that stood out to us? Was there anything that stood out to you, maybe something that wasn't on your radar before? Or just you saw something like, wow, that looks really cool. Because there's definitely one for me.
You know, honestly, I can't think of anything besides the Battlefront thing, which I'm still a little bit cautious about, even though it looks promising.
What about Assassin's Creed? You think that looks good?
Yeah, it looks, you know, good to me. I've always borrowed all the Assassin's Creed games from you.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's not going to be a purchase thing for me, but it's definitely something I'm interested in playing eventually.
Yeah, I'm excited that we're not in Europe anymore.
You're tired of all the those buildings.
I gotta say, you know, I don't play Assassin's Creed, but I always watch Kevin play them. This one looks really interesting in that they're taking it way back, the very beginning of the Assassins, and the new setting. I think it's gonna be fun.
It's gonna be fun. And you can like control an eagle now, and they're talking about you can upgrade a certain bow and arrow. There's bow and arrows now. You can upgrade them so that you can like control them
when you didn't fire. Didn't they have that in the third one?
Oh, maybe they did. I don't know.
Yeah, so
you can like shoot five arrows at once.
It looks like they're delving more into like this mystical side, which was very prevalent in the second Assassin's Creed, which I really liked.
Yeah,
there's that big reveal at the end, which I thought really enhanced.
I think Assassin's Creed 2, story-wise, is the best one, and 4 Black Flag is my favorite one. And the team that's making the new one, their last game was Black Flag, so I have really high hopes for this one.
Cool.
Is there any other...
Well, Kevin wanted to talk about the thing that blew his
mind. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know if you watched the Bethesda conference, or if you saw any of that. So, the last thing they showed off was this awesome trailer, and I was thinking the whole time, what is this? This looks so cool. And
it was an 8-minute trailer.
Yeah, and when it ended, it was Wolfenstein 2. Now, the reason I was like, what is this? I would have recognized it if I had played the first one, but I didn't. But it looked so good and so much fun that I was like, wow, this is Wolfenstein 2. This makes me want to go play the first one so that I can play this one. So guess what? Last night, I went and bought the first one, and I started playing it.
You played about 10 minutes, and then the power went out.
Yeah.
As it does.
And then I played like an hour of it, and it was fun. So I'm looking forward to getting back and playing more Wolfenstein so that I can get the new one, because that it looks so good. Definitely, if you haven't seen any of the trailer, just watch it.
Okay, I will. Is there any other E3 stuff that you wanted to cover before we move on? Or any gaming stuff?
Just, I was kind of disappointed that, I mean, I guess I already knew it wasn't happening, but Halo 3 Anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need one.
I know we don't need one, but I would have liked one.
I know there was some speculation that they were going to do, like, something Halo 3 related within Halo 5, like, have people have a bunch of Forge maps that were recreations of Halo 3 maps.
I think that their Master Chief Collection is sort of their excuse for not having to do one for Halo 3, because they included it with, like, a remaster. Mm-hmm. And it looked good on the next generation. And, you know, like they had said, Bungie had included some assets, like individual rendered leaves and stuff that would move around that just couldn't, the 360 couldn't handle. But the Xbox One could handle it, and that was a reason to replay it, was so that you could see some of these things that looked, it made Halo 3 look next gen. And the graphics, they're awesome, and, you know, a lot of it holds up, but I still would have liked to have seen what they could do 10 years later. Whatever. And that the only thing that 343 was there for was Halo Wars 2 DLC, which, I mean, you and I played it. I'm not interested in playing any more of it. I've never been to you.
Yeah, so I guess that could lead into, like, games that we've played since the last podcast, if we want to talk about them. Halo Wars 2 came out. I did play it, and as far as gameplay-wise, it was fine, and I thought, my impression is that it was more challenging than the first one.
Yeah, I think I borrowed it from him, and pretty much, like, almost all the levels, I had to play it twice, because the first one, I would die, and then the second time, it's like, okay, now I know what to do. Mm-hmm. It happened on almost every level. So, yeah, and I played on, like, normal difficulty. So, yeah, it was more challenging.
Yeah, so I liked that aspect. As far as the story goes, though, I felt it was probably the weakest Halo game. I really didn't feel invested too much in the characters. They sort of went for fewer cutscenes, but having them be longer. And I didn't like that they did that. To me, those blur cutscenes at the end of each mission was like a reward for doing
that. Yeah, it was something to look forward to because they were so cool looking.
Mm-hmm. So,
and then you finally get when you're like, oh, yay. And then it's like, okay, this is taking too long.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of the reason why I didn't feel super invested in the characters. And I also felt like Atriox was a bit underdeveloped. They built him up as this macho bad guy who's pretty much seems like he's invincible. And then you kind of just go and kind of just mop the floor with him. Mm-hmm. I would have had liked to seen a bit of pushback, have at least one instance where, like, for a mission, you think you've outsmarted him, but then he comes around and you end the mission and it looks like you're defeated. And then the next one, you have to rally and come back.
Some of the stuff that they did was really cool with, like, you can control a scarab this time, or that whatever it was, that huge flying UNSC thing. But, it wasn't very super memorable, and it was kind of fun, but I don't really care about playing any more of it. Do you?
Since I let you borrow it, I haven't played any more of it. I know they've come out with other, like, DLC, like, leaders, like, there's a hunter...
Sergeant Johnson.
Guy and Sergeant Johnson. But I haven't experienced them yet. So I think I will go back at some point just to see how those leaders play out, but I know they just announced a new DLC thing that they're charging money for. I don't see myself buying that. I didn't really buy any of the DLC for the first Halo Wars.
I don't remember that there was any.
Yeah, so...
That's nothing, Halo Wars.
Yeah. A new Mass Effect game came out.
Mass Effect Andromeda. Mm-hmm. I've been looking forward to that for a very long time. And I had a lot of fun with it. I think it was definitely disappointing in some aspects, and a lot of people have already talked about why, you know, the character creation is, like, not super... customizable, which they've kind of gone back and fixed a little bit.
Super glitchy.
Yeah, they really could have spent another couple months squashing bugs. I played through it twice, and both of my playthroughs, the second one was a lot better, but both of them were super buggy. I did like it a lot. I thought that the new thing they did where you can sort of switch between all of the play styles rather than having to just stick to one throughout the whole game was a lot of fun. And there's certainly replayability, as there has always been. But by the time I was done with my second playthrough, I was like, I'm so ready to be done with this.
Yeah, I'm still working my way through it. But so far the impression I've got is that, you know, all the combat and stuff is really nice. And it seems... like, you know, a Mass Effect game, and in terms of, like, how things progress and the stories and going around and to different planets, it seems, you know, the same as the other games, but it doesn't really push anything farther.
Mm-hmm.
Except one thing that I really did appreciate is that you don't spend the entire game going around and building your team. I like that it all came together really fast so that you could, you know, start getting to know them. And
yeah, that was the whole second game, which was, not gonna lie, one of my favorite games of all time. Mass Effect 2. Love it so much. Probably my favorite Mass Effect game. But the whole story was building your squad to get to the very end.
And then I feel like the whole third game was going around trying to convince people that the Reapers are a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Not like you didn't do that in the other games, but yeah. So I appreciated that aspect with this game. But it's definitely not as iconic as the originals.
Well, like I said, I played through Horizon Zero Dawn. I played it twice. And I totally loved it. It's so good. So there you go.
Now... when did Fallout 4 come out? Did we cover that on the last podcast?
It came out in 2015.
All right. That shows what I know. Anything else game related?
I don't think so.
That's all I can think of. I know Titanfall 2 came out.
Oh yeah, that was really good. Point.
That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I really appreciated how it blended... and as far as, like, the new campaign mode,
mm-hmm.
how it blended, like, Call of Duty, Halo, and Portal.
Yeah, I have to say, I was so impressed with the campaign, because when they introduced or announced Titanfall 1, it's like, okay, this looks awesome. Why is it multiplayer only? Like, they could do so many cool things with a story mode on this, and they totally blew me away with Titanfall 2.
Yeah, it was like the best campaign ever.
It was surprisingly incredible and totally blew me away. And on top of that, the multiplayer was so much fun, which is weird because the beta that they had, which was super close to release, was really disappointing, and they totally fixed it.
Mm.
So I had a lot of fun with Titanfall 2, and Titanfall 1 was the first game we played on Xbox One. We got the bundle, mm-hmm. so it was like a free download. So I have fond memories of both of those games.
Nice.
Especially the second one.
Okay, so I think that's going to wrap it up for the game stuff.
Oh, I have one more thing to say about Star Wars. Rian Johnson talked to me on Twitter. Okay, we can do that.
Well, you've gone and said that. Do you want to elaborate on it?
No.
For clarification?
No, that's okay.
All right, there you go. So
yeah, Kevin's more special than everyone else.
That leads into the realm of movies. A lot of movies have come out since our last podcast. Are there any that you would like to touch on?
Well, let's see. We've seen Logan, that was good. Kong Skull Island, that was good. Con and I saw Fate of the Furious, that was pretty good. We saw Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that was good. We saw Pirates of the Caribbean 5, that was good.
Wonder Woman?
We saw Wonder Woman, that was really good. I really liked that one. So there you go. I want to see Baby Driver. Do you want to see that?
I could go either way on that.
Okay.
Of course, Rogue One came out since our last podcast. Yeah. I don't see how you guys could forget such a thing like that. But
I can tell you one thing that I do know is that we saw that on the same day that we filmed my movie. Oh, yeah, I made a movie.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to plug that at all?
Sure. Well, it's not out for viewing yet, but I made a short film called Rain Cloud. I am so proud of. I wrote the script, and we did a movie, a short film with a bunch of people. Lane and Kyle were involved.
Yeah, Lane and I have cameos, and Kevin's arm appears in the movie as well.
Yeah, so I got like real actors in it. I got like
people who have IMDb pages.
Yeah, the film, you can Google or look up on IMDb. It's called Rain Cloud, so it's up there now. And it turned out so good. We got it into a little festival, not like a real big time festival, but a little festival. It played in a movie theater. It's so much fun to see it. Got a good reaction. Mm-hmm. And I'm just so proud of it. It's so much fun. All I ever wanted to do was direct movies, and I made a short film, and it was like the most fun thing I've ever done. Sorry, Lane. Well, I get you. Oh, and Lane edited it. And he did an amazing job. Lane is the best editor of all time. You will see that when the Marlin movie comes out.
Yeah.
Not the best editor of all time. The best
indie
for free editor.
The special effects that Lane does, both in Marlin and Rain Cloud, are like stuff that you wouldn't even notice that improves the movie, both movies, 1,000 times.
I know there for Rain Cloud there is one scene. There was, like, a fly buzzing around.
Yeah, there was a fly. Like, I was watching it. See, when you're a director, you really have to, like, see everything that's going on. And I noticed a little fly flew in front of one of my actors' faces. And I jokingly told Lane, half-jokingly, half, like, really, like, can you get that fly out of there? Because I knew if he worked on it, he could. And then he did. Good job, Lane. And he also did, there's not really music in it, because
it's like ambient.
Lane music. And I were talking. We've known each other for so long, we had the same ideas. We were like, it doesn't really need music, it needs like ambience. And Lane wrote this little thing, and it was like, Lane, that is exactly what I had in my head. So, if you can tell by the way I'm talking about it, I'm so excited about it. I love it so much. Maybe someday you guys will be able to see it. In fact, we should promote it once it comes out.
Do you have a time when you expect that to come out? Or?
Yeah, probably pretty soon. I'm just like lazy and not putting it out.
One of the things I've always talked about is that it would be so fun to rent out a movie theater for the premiere of the Marlin movie, and it would be fun to either play Rain Cloud as a little short, because it's like 5 minutes, play it as a short before the movie, or sneak it in as that's what's after the credits. Because we always put something after the credits of every episode. It'd be funny if that was after the credits was Kevin's movie that he made.
Yeah, so I'm so proud of it. Hopefully you guys can see it soon.
If people wanted to be notified when that comes out, where would they go to get updates from you?
You know, maybe we could just do it on the Tom Productions page.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'd certainly retweet it at least, if not tweet about it when it comes out. So I guess just follow our usual avenues.
Yeah.
So, there you go. So,
if you absolutely cannot wait and really want to see it, and you happen to be my Facebook friend, just message me and I will send you a link to see it.
Wow. Insider.
Yeah, but you have to already be my friend.
Now I feel special that I've already seen it.
Are you worried about...
well, Kyle, you work on it.
Are you worried about people leaking?
Oh, that's a huge issue. Leaks? Yeah, people are definitely going
to
watch it.
Yeah, because Kevin's so high profile. Everybody wants to see the movie. Someone's going to leak it.
Did you see, Lane? I put a picture on the IMDb page.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah.
So back to Star Wars. Star Wars, the Rogue One was really good. I really enjoyed it.
It was good, and I saw it 7 months ago now, so I don't remember much of it. But I remember liking it, and I remember I thought that it really looked like it was made in the 70s.
I'm on the IMDb page
in a good way.
It looks so real because there's a picture, and then some of my actors have pictures too, so it just looks like a real thing. It is a real thing. Why am I saying that?
Kevin, it's almost like you made a movie.
Yeah.
Oh, are we still talking about that?
We're talking about Star Wars now.
Oh, yeah.
Go to the Star Wars IMDb page.
That's okay. Rogue One. I liked it. I loved the last couple minutes.
I was... leading up to it, there was a bunch of rumblings about, different changes and stuff that were being made. So I was going into it a little hesitant, but that set it up perfectly so that I'd be really happy and pleased.
Was it the best Star Wars movie ever?
No.
Was it better than all the prequels? Probably.
I'm still
according
not
to
sure
Lane, no, because George Lucas Almighty directed those, so there's no way they can be bad.
It's not even that George Lucas was the director of that. It's just that
you saw
because they interweave with the other movies.
Did George Lucas direct the
Christmas
special?
Oh, did Rogue One not interweave with any of the other movies whatsoever?
It did interweave with the other movies, just not really in a mythological sense.
They didn't plan it when they were making the other ones.
So yeah, anyway, I guess so.
Did he know what I thought was interesting, though?
Hold on. Did he make the Christmas special, George Lucas?
No, he didn't.
No, I think he gave some direction of, he wanted it to be centered around Wookiees. But he didn't direct it.
You know what I did like about Rogue One was all the midichlorian characters. There were a couple of them.
Well, a lot of the characters have midichlorians.
I think...
extremely high levels.
Well, something that sticks out, which was probably my favorite part, was when they put the hood over that guy's head and he's like, "Are you kidding me? I'm blind!"
So anyway, Rogue One was great. Do we want to detail any of the other movies?
No, I gave you my thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I thought Pirates was pretty good. I thought Wonder Woman was awesome.
Yeah, Wonder Woman, if you want to talk about that a little bit. Wonder Woman was... it totally blew away my expectations. I was going into it thinking, okay, this will probably be pretty good. It was really good.
Mm. It was the best DC movie that's come out so far.
Yeah, for sure. I was definitely disappointed with Batman vs. Superman and Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad looked so good. It was not so good. And Man of Steel is just as boring as it looks.
I still haven't seen it. Should I bother?
I said it's just as boring as it looks. If you watch a trailer, you'll go, "Oh, so that's how good."
So it's all close-ups with
It looks like this.
There was one cool part in that movie that I liked. Well, two things. One was a scene where Clark Kent was in a bar or something, and there's a fight going on, somebody gets mad at him, and he tries to push him, and he doesn't move at all. He just stands there, and doesn't even get pushed back a little bit. He just stays right there, and I was like, "Oh, that's so cool. That's totally that character." And then Michael Shannon, do you know who Michael Shannon is?
Yeah.
I love Michael Shannon. He was in a Boardwalk Empire. Yeah,
he was so good in this movie. He did something that I've only seen two people do, where he takes a bad script and he makes it sound good. And I took a... I'm going to sound like a total snob here. I took a screenwriting class at Stanford.
That you didn't.
Well, it was on the campus. It's like a 30-minute thing. It was... Never mind. I'm not as special as I'm making myself sound. But anyway, the guy said, it's impossible to make a good movie with a bad script. You can have good actors, good director, good cinematographer, everything. If you have a bad script, it's not going to be a good movie. And what Michael Shannon was able to do is make these unbelievable lines sound realistic. And the only other guy who I've seen been able to do that was, I can name his name, but the guy who played Locke in the Nightfall thing. Is that what it was?
The guy who plays Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Yeah, Luke Cage.
He was able to do that in the Halo show.
Yeah.
And so those are two really impressive actors. So that's what I liked about Man of Steel.
All right.
Okay. Now, we've talked about games. We've talked about movies. We're hitting all the mediums here. Television.
24 was good, and it got canceled.
24? The new 24?
The new 24.
It got canceled?
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. This is my genuine reaction. Yeah. I'm really shocked.
It was so good.
Yeah.
But that's all I want to talk about.
I didn't know that it wasn't getting lots of ratings. Like, they played it after the Super Bowl. People loved it. People were watching it. And then the last few episodes, nobody's watching it. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. I thought it was a set thing.
Yeah, and they have said that they're not done with 24, and they're going to bring it back eventually. But
all I want is
this iteration of it is done.
Is a movie with Jack Bauer, and he's an old man, and he has a beard, like Logan and like Marcus Fenix. All the old people are coming back with beards now, gray beards.
Mm-hmm.
Luke, that's the new thing now, and I want to see Jack Bauer do that.
That would be cool to see. I think the last time we saw him, he was, like, being carted off to Russia.
Yeah.
And then Better Call Saul is good, too.
Yeah.
Are you caught up on that?
Yeah. That show, it's just, like, you can't even bother saying anything about it, because it's just always good.
Yeah.
All right, that's enough TV.
Now, are we missing something? I feel like there's something else we had to talk about.
Yeah, you didn't talk about Star Wars Rebels.
Ugh. Oh, no.
You don't want to talk about that?
I will make fun of you all day, if you want.
No, I'll abstain.
Okay.
Smart move.
Lady watches a cartoon!
So, anything else TV-wise? Do you want to say...
You should watch Silicon Valley.
Okay. Whenever I have HBO, which I don't. Okay, so... I guess enough of that you fit all our mediums. Usually in, like, the middle of the podcast, we do, like, listener feedback and stuff. Mm-hmm. We stopped getting emails and calls a long time ago. But I think we did this last time. A good thing would be to read some of the, like, the comments and stuff. Okay.
And we can respond to them as well. I'm going to stand up just because my butt is getting sticky. Picture that!
Yeah.
I told you, he's getting really sweaty in his tuxedo. You think we're kidding?
We're not.
He is wearing a tuxedo.
So, like I said, we've put out
where's the cam?
Some update videos.
A bunch of different update videos, but also the first trailer, the teaser trailer.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Oh, by the way, can I just say, you know, we're... Actually, I'll get to it later.
Okay. Here's a comment from Puma Lion. Been watching since the days of Halo Reach, when this game was so popular. You guys take your time. The more work you put into it, the better.
We get a lot of comments like that.
Now, here's...
I'm
sorry.
For the movie being 90 minutes runtime, I'm especially grateful. Thanks, Thomas Productions. Love you guys.
Well, we love you too. You're welcome. And you said, I've been watching since the days of Halo Reach. It makes it sound like we've moved out of Halo Reach. We are still in Halo Reach. But we appreciate your long time watching.
And, Lane, do you want to give an update on the runtime? Is it about 90 minutes? A little more? A little less? I don't know.
I definitely don't want to, you know, pin it down, particularly because things could change slightly. I can say it's going to be at least 90 minutes long.
And it won't be 2 hours.
No, it's not going to be...
Between 90 and 120 yeah. minutes.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah. It's definitely not going to be, like, significantly longer than 90 minutes.
But it's feature length.
Yeah. That's the bottom line.
We're learning now how long it takes to make a feature length movie. I guess how long it takes to edit one.
Yeah, and when there are only three of us, that makes things a lot slower than having an entire crew.
And when we have other stuff to do besides just working on
the movie. If we had like 100 people working on this movie, you would have seen it last year.
Oh, and if you're wondering if Rain Cloud at all delayed the making of this movie.
Yes.
Sure, it did a little bit. But we worked on Rain Cloud for about, editing-wise, about a month.
Yeah.
And you were still doing Marley in between, right?
Yeah.
So, sure, a little bit, but not like a huge delay.
And it's not like we just decided to do Rain Cloud also. Like, that was kind of a project that, like, you were required to do.
Sort of. Kind of. I'm not saying it's like, it was a class project. It was not a class project. It was my own thing. However, I did get credit in the class for doing it. But I have since graduated, so now none of that matters.
Moving on to the next comment, we have Crazy Meatball 77.
Oh, that's Kyle.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's not.
It's not Kyle.
I can't say it enough. You guys deserve way more subscribers.
Are you only going to be reading the good comments? Or yeah. Do we only get good
We don't really get bad comments.
Yeah, we don't get negative comments. It's always very supportive. No.
Except when we put out Flushy Flushy. We didn't get the best comments on those.
That's a long time ago.
A lot of them are like this, saying that we deserve more views. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, Marlon's been going on for a long time, and it's really funny.
Hey, he knows his stuff.
I wish some big YouTuber would give you guys a shout-out or something.
Go ahead, man.
Yep. But then, Gaming Nobility responded to Crazy Meatball 77 and kind of elaborated on some of these comments. This is a long one. Get settled in. I haven't watched this series in a while, and I wanted to catch back up on it. I remember watching the first Marlon the Elite episodes and getting instantly hooked, as I couldn't watch Red vs. Blue back then. Parentheses, too profane, lol.
We were going for that.
This was also one of the first Machinima series I watched, and I really hold close and dear to my heart. I remember joining one of the earlier episodes filming, but I don't remember which specific one. I have added Marlon the Elite because of it, though. I have Marlon the Elite because of it, though. Definitely in Halo 3 by then. I just wanted to say how much I truly appreciated watching you guys, and after all these years, finally subbed to your channel. Hey. Thank you.
Well, guess what? We have a movie coming out soon.
And you know what else? It's people like him that we make these for.
Oh, I want to say something.
I'm not done.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, really?
Please, never change. Really am happy about this series still continuing, and it's a crime not to see as many subscribers. Hopefully you guys can still get way more. Now I'm done.
Thank you.
Well, I want to say, we get a lot of comments that are like, sometimes we get messages from people too that say, I remember I would watch this, we'd get all my friends together, we watch it at my house. I love those. Mm-hmm. Because it means actual people in real life.
They wanted to share it with each other.
And watch it together. And if that means we have less views, like the number, but more people are watching it, hey, just as good.
And I have to say,
I hope you guys do that when the movie comes out. That'd be awesome.
Our standard response is, if you want us to get more views, you know, share it with your friends.
Post it all over.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this now, and I'll keep saying it, and I think we should put something about this. When the movie comes out, we so badly want to hear what you think of the movie when it comes out. Please, please comment on it and message us and just tell us what you think. We've been working on it for so long. Tell us, like, your favorite scenes, your favorite lines, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it, and then we'll delete those comments.
And also, thank you so much for continuing to support us and watch. And, you know, the guy says never change. In the 10 years we've been making Marlon, we have never changed in that we do this for fun. We're not part of a big production company. It's just the three of us and occasionally the fans. We make zero money off of it, but we continue to do it because we love it and because we know that you want it, and we have fun doing it and giving it out there to you.
And it's good practice.
It is good practice.
As I can attest to that.
Yeah. Elaine's gotten so much better at everything.
And Kyle and I have not. We've gotten better at voice acting. Do you notice that we don't sound like this anymore? If you guys miss a second like this, just let us know. We'll go back.
Just go back to episode one of Marlon the Elite.
What did Marlon sound like, Lane?
He sounded a lot different than he does now.
Episode one is not really even on YouTube anymore.
No, but I hope people still know how to find it.
You can go to our website, right? Yeah. And it's on there.
That's where you can go for
it. It's like on a QuickTime video or something, right?
Yeah. Nighthawk 7X20. Sometimes 20, I guess. He says, how do you guys only have 2,000 subs? I mean, yeah, that's a lot of people, but they deserve way more. Everything they put out is entertaining as hell.
I like when people say they instead of you, because it means they think we're so big that they will never see the comments. So they're just commenting for other people.
Yeah, we read all the comments, because we only ever get, at most, what, 17? Well, in response to that, I will say, thank
you. Tell your friends.
Thank you. Tell your friends. And, I guess that's it.
I've only met, like, one person in real life. And there's somebody that I already knew. And they're like, oh, I saw that Marlon thing you did. I keep waiting for someone to come up to me someday and go, oh my god.
You're the voice.
No one's ever recognized us in public.
That'd be like the greatest statement.
One time, Kevin and I were in LA seeing an episode of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno back when that was on. And somebody
recognize you?
Somebody came up to us after the show and were like, do you guys play tennis? Like, they thought we were those twin tennis players or whatever.
And he said, yeah, right.
Somebody
yeah.
came up to me once and said, oh, what's the guy's name?
Andy Samberg. He
said, are you Andy Samberg? I should have said yes.
I get that a lot. I went to the dentist one time, and the lady was like, do you watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? And I was like, I know what you're going to say, and I get that a lot.
We love Andy Samberg. He has a huge Jewish nose like we do, but that's fine.
You don't quite have the hair, though.
We're not Jewish, but he is, I think.
Kyle has had the Andy Samberg hair.
Yeah. I think we all have had that at some point.
We don't have his
but
chin.
But it's not in style anymore.
He has the chin. Yeah.
Anyway, here's another comment from Bob Shaw. Why don't you guys advertise on Reddit or something? I'm sure we can get 343 to recognize what you have made.
Well,
go ahead and
try. First of all, I think that's a good idea.
Lane, Bungie has.
I was going to say, Lane, you should advertise on Reddit. And we have gotten our stuff to Bungie. We made a machinima called Friend that Bungie posted about.
Off-Road Wraith,
and also the Halo 3 ODST OST rep.
Once the Marlon movie comes out, maybe because we worked so freaking hard on that and it's going to turn out so good, then maybe 343 will see that. Maybe. If you guys want to try.
I can say that I have posted trailers and some of our past videos on Reddit, like some of the Machinima Reddit and the Halo Reddit, and they haven't really taken off. So when the movie comes out, if you want to, I'm sure I'll post it there. But if you want to go ahead and post that or comment on existing posts or something, please feel free. Because that would probably really help spread the word.
Any other comments you want to read?
So, wait, the comments that you're reading are on the trailer, right?
These are just across a couple of videos. Okay. Most of them from the update videos.
Okay.
Most of them are from the most recent one. Let's see, I want to do one last one here. Okay, here's one from Halo 3 Owner 5. Keep up the good work, and don't worry about time. Just release it when it's good and ready.
See, that's... I like those comments, and guess what? That's what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we appreciate your patience. We know that when we announced it, we said it was going to be done last year. Of course,
we didn't realize how hard we were going to work on it. It wasn't going to be that good, but now it is.
When we announced it, we thought that we could do it really quick, and
We had never done anything this big before.
Yeah, but as, and this especially applies to Lane, as we started doing it, you know, we were like, okay, you know, let's try extra hard on this. And
everything is taken to the next level.
Yeah.
The sets that we're building, that we built are...
In Forge.
Yeah. Are much more elaborate, more realistic, spent way more time on them. And then stuff like the cinematography, okay? Setting up a shot looks much better. Editing. A scene will come together much better. Music, all this stuff. Everything is being done more like...
More time intense. Putting more time into it.
Making it more like an actual film production.
And what I want to say about doing the voice acting is when we do the show, every time we do the voice acting, that's all in one session. We come over, we do the voice acting in about, you know, 3-4 hours for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we did for the movie for every scene. It'd take about 3 hours... or 4 hours to do just one scene in the movie.
Is every scene the length of an episode? No. But we would spend a lot more time on it, making sure that we sound real good.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this is Kevin talking, by the way. I tried to deliver my lines much more realistically than... Normally, I mean, I was always kind of like that. Like, Kyle would kind of go crazy, and I would go realistic. But I feel like I did a much better job this time. I think my lines turned out great. And so did everybody else's. Good job, guys.
Yeah, everything that you hear and see is the best version of what we did. Like, you know, lots of takes for audio, dialogue, and whatnot. And what you hear in the final version is the best take that we did. What you see on screen is the best, you know, version that we acted at, because we did it a bunch of times.
Once this movie comes out, you will see and understand why it has taken so long. Even watching the trailer won't give you a great idea of why it took so long. Only the movie will.
Yeah. Hopefully.
So, we've obviously moved into, you know, Marlon the Elite talk. Since our last podcast... We've had the fan filming.
Mm-hmm. Last time we did a podcast, we were still filming it. We were in the middle of production.
That is, we were nearing the end.
Nearing the end. Our last production kind of push.
Yeah, I think we finished principal photography. Right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, around
that time.
Skype session that we
had. We did a little something. Not to give too much away, but we did a little something.
We did some...
afterwards, where we were separate, not together.
We usually film together, but for this part, we had to film remotely.
Mm-hmm.
Just due to changing circumstances. So we were on Skype and communicating, mm-hmm. and Kevin filmed a little video of us doing some celebration.
Yeah. If you go back and look, you can find an old video from a few months ago. Of when we finished filming, we put a little video. The reason we had a video of us doing that is because, I don't know if I've talked about this before. If I haven't, then here's a grand announcement.
Okay, wait. Grand world exclusive.
Assuming,
in 4K.
I don't remember if I talked about it before.
It's not
anyway,
in 4K.
I made a documentary.
This is Kevin talking.
Yes, this is Kevin. I made a documentary of when we were making the movie. So, a couple months before we started filming, we got together and talked about the movie. I filmed that. Then once we started, I filmed a whole bunch of our filming sessions and our voiceover sessions. I filmed when we did the fan filming event. I filmed a little bit of Lane capturing and editing. And we got some Forge in there. So I really tried to get every... part of making the movie.
Yeah, Kevin, he finished the documentary a long time ago, but it covers pre-production, production, and post-production.
Yeah, so it'll take you through the making of this movie, and I think it turned out really good. It's not just like, you know, if you watch our bonus footage videos, it's all just kind of like, here's plus parts of us making the movie. This is actually... telling the story of making this movie and showing a lot of awesome behind-the-scenes stuff. I did a, like, interview. I interviewed Lane and Kyle. And,
did you forget my name?
I was pointing to the wrong person. I interviewed Lane and Kyle, and I took their interview and used that to make a story. So eventually, once the movie comes out, a little while after that, we'll put out the documentary. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it because I really enjoyed making it, which I normally don't. And I showed it to Elena.
What do you mean you normally don't? You love making movies.
I don't like documentaries, and I don't like editing. I had to edit it myself. I learned a lot about myself editing. No. It's probably more fun to edit a documentary than a movie for me.
Is it mainly because you kind of have all the pieces there?
I don't know what already? It is. I think it's the fun of trying to make it all work, whereas with a film, I know all the stuff.
Okay.
And you, like, have to get it to work, whereas the documentary, you get to decide how it's all going to come together.
Okay.
Anyway, I showed it to them. They liked it. I like it. It turned out good. Eventually, you'll see it. It's not, like, an hour long. It's, like, between 15 and 20 minutes. But I'm really excited about it. When it comes out, I think you guys will like it.
I think that's also one thing that we haven't really talked about is, obviously, the movie's our main focus. But even after the movie, obviously, this movie took a lot of work. So we're going to have some videos that are coming out after that, including documentary.
Yeah.
That kind of details some more of kind of like what went into making it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it'll give you a real insider look at what it's like to be the three of us making it. Because it's just the three of us.
And if you like that type of thing, which we really do, then you like it. Because we really like, at least I can't speak for Lane, but Kevin and I really like watching like behind the scenes stuff. We like to know how things are done. As we put it, we like to have stuff ruined for us. You know, I want to know how they made the Kraken or whatever.
Yeah, so like, here's a little example. I'm not going to give
Davy Jones.
I won't give anything away as far as the movie or anything. There's one shot in the movie that Lane worked so hard on, and it's like a beautiful, beautiful shot. So what I did is I interviewed Lane, say, Lane, how did you do this? And so I show the shot, I show its
progression
as, from just what he captured to all the stages of, you know, making it what it is. And then while you see that, you heard Lane talking about it. So that's kind of like parts of what the movie is.
And,
like.
And that will help explain why it took so long to make this movie, because that was probably the biggest project in terms of one shot that you did. But he did a lot of stuff like that throughout the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll explain why it took us a whole year, more than a whole year, to make this movie.
So, sort of circling back to the fan filming and stuff. I know we touched on it briefly in update videos, but that went really well.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. In the past, when we've done fan filming stuff,
or even just like community game events.
Mm-hmm. I know. You know, sometimes, you know, it can be tough to kind of stand in a spot and kind of just walk around and be boring when you're holding a gun.
And all you want to do is shoot us.
Yeah, but
and Marlon is standing right there.
Everyone was very, very professional
and
super cooperative.
And you guys got to see some of our sets and stuff, so.
Yeah. And I believe I said at the time is that, you know, you're seeing some of what we're doing, and I hope that you still have no idea what the movie is about. And I think that we kept it secret enough that the people who were a part of that probably cannot tell you much more than people who saw the trailer.
Yeah, that was definitely one of the things that we were trying to do, because we wanted to have this bigger scope with more people, and we wanted to have fans involved in that, but yet we didn't want to spoil anything for them.
Yeah.
So I think we definitely kept it vague enough.
If you guys were part of the event, thank you. You did a great job. I think maybe one of the reasons that it went so well is because everyone's older now. They're more mature.
Yeah, that's but a lot.
If you guys were there, thank you. You did great. Go ahead and rewatch the teaser that we released, and you might see yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, not like you put everyone in there on purpose, but a couple people are probably.
No, there's a quick shot.
I know, there's a shot in there of something that we did can think of.
So, let's talk about this. So, we've released a ton of update videos and one teaser. How many more before the movie comes out? Well, we'll probably do a more story-driven trailer.
A theatrical trailer.
Yeah. As far as update videos, I would say probably one.
Zero to one?
Before the movie comes out.
That's my guess.
Probably one. I mean, we don't have much more to do. Lane, do you want to talk about how much left we have? Because there's really not a lot. Compared to what we've already done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so some people have been messaging us and along the way and asking how things are going. And
we appreciate that. We're glad you're still interested.
We appreciate your investment in the movie.
And so for the past about 6 months or so, we've been doing the sound effects.
It's full on post-production. Usually how an episode goes is the last thing that happens is Kevin and I come over and do our voices.
We're changing it up.
This time around, that was kind of the last thing that we did, that Kevin and I did. And now it's all up to Lane to do a lot of the sound editing and whatnot. Yeah.
But, I mean, it's not like we're not doing anything. Yeah. We're still helping. We'll see what Lane's done and give our opinions.
In fact, earlier today we saw some of the movie, and I must say, it is absolutely incredible. You guys are going to love it.
So, start to finish, the whole movie is done. Not like you can't go out and watch it yet. It's not ready. We're still working on parts of it, but every scene is filmed, voiced, edited,
mm-hmm.
done.
So it was all edited, and then we went in and broke it up and did the sound effects for each part. And normally for an episode, we would definitely use the main bed for the sound is the in-game sounds, and then we'd add upon that. But for this movie, pretty much everything sound-wise has been touched in some way. So have I.
And that's not to say that it's not going to sound like Halo. I mean, you still use most the Halo sound effects, right?
But,
a Warthog doesn't sound like a Honda.
But
in our movie,
for example, the background noise, that the ambience and stuff, mm-hmm. That usually have on Forge World, sometimes there's a random explosion in the background or some weird bird chirping. In an episode, we'd usually let that slide. It's just kind of in the background. But for here, we're a little more paying attention to it and focused. So if something's coming in and we notice it, that's going to get taken out and replaced with something that fits what's going on in the story.
Yeah, not to give anything away, but one scene that we filmed, there was so much noise going on the entire time that...
That's a good idea. Okay.
What?
So due to filming, there was one scene in the movie that pretty much when we captured it, we didn't get any usable sound. So all the sound for that scene had to be pretty much created after the fact and matched up to what was on screen.
Will you know it when you see it?
Yes. When you watch the movie, try and guess which scene that is.
By yes, he means no. You will not be able to tell because, like I said earlier, we use Halo sound effects for our sound effects and whatnot. But
if you think hard and pay close attention, you might be able to tell which mm-hmm. scene it is. But the goal is to have you not be thinking about... See, that's one of the things you learn in film school, is don't draw attention to anything or you lose the audience. They're going to think about it. You don't want them to think about what went into the making
especially,
of the movie. You just want them to be lost.
Especially the editing. And Kevin and I have seen an episode of The Sopranos with the most horrible editing of all time that takes you so out of it.
If you've seen The Sopranos, you know what it is. Everyone knows what it is.
I haven't seen it.
I'll show you.
I tried to show it to Lane before, and it's not on the internet anymore. At least it wasn't. It wasn't when I looked. I know it was before. It wasn't when I looked.
They were too ashamed.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's... We've been doing all the sound effects work and stuff for the past few months. We can now say that all the sound work for sound effects is now done.
Yay!
It's finished. The whole movie has sound effects.
So that leaves what, Lane?
That leaves music. And as anyone would know, music is a big part and driving force of a movie or a video.
And a big thing is that ever since some of the original Marlin episodes have been taken down, we've been using all original music, 99% of written by Lane.
Yeah. So, for this movie, I wanted to do a fully original score for it, with, you know, themes and that, you know, kind of carry throughout, like, different characters and events have themes.
If
and
you're worried that it's not going to sound like the Marlin
Marlin Cinematic Universe
sound that you already know, don't worry.
Yeah, like, I've heard some of the music already. It does sound like it
sounds like a more epic
cinematic
movie.
Yeah,
version.
It's like a cinematic version of the Marlin themes that you know.
Mm-hmm. So as Kyle mentioned, I've been doing sort of music for the Marlin series since around 2009, I want to say. And over the course of the time, we've built up, you know, kind of like a library, a big library of Marlin music, to the point where, for like lots of episodes, we have the ability to, you know, reuse music and reuse tracks,
which has saved Lane a lot of time, I'm sure.
Yeah, and there's times, frankly, when I think looking back on it, it would have been easier to just record something new, but I've used an existing piece of music and sometimes like cut it up and pitched it different ways.
But that also helps to build, you know, the idea that there are themes within this universe.
Now, Lane, in the movie, will you be using any of the same themes that people may recognize?
Yeah, so that's what I was leading into. Obviously, if people have watched, you know, some of the Marlin episodes and stuff, there are themes that carry over into the movie that hopefully you'll recognize. However, all of this music, as far as like the recording and orchestration, is going to be completely new.
Mm-hmm.
So that means like old tracks from the series, those aren't going to be just lifted and plopped down into the movie. This is all going to be original and new recording.
Yeah, so that was
what I was going to say. Lane, does it sound like a movie score and not a little thing that goes into an episode?
Definitely the quality bar has been
yes,
moved
it
up.
Has.
Certainly since when I started doing this in
it
around
sounds,
2009.
Lane's going to be humble. It sounds like a movie score, okay? It sounds really, really good.
So what I was going to say was that last time we did a podcast, I was about to start talking about the music, and Lane stopped me because he wanted to keep it a secret for a little while longer. Well, now we're talking about it. What I was going to say was, back then, a year ago, was that he's doing something a little different in that he's scoring it to the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not just writing something for the show, then putting it in a bunch of episodes because you can use it a bunch of times. This is, he's writing one piece of music that's going to go for this scene specifically,
yeah,
and then move on to the next scene and do something for that.
And making sure that it's like timed well with
yeah,
the movie and the shots and everything. That's why you have to have the movie edited before you do music, so that you can write the music and make it fit for the scene specifically.
Yeah.
Whereas with, you know, TV or like what we were doing with the Marlin show is a little bit more leniency with that.
Yeah. Generally, like, the whole pipeline for this movie is pretty much like a real movie in terms of the order of, like, what we're doing things in.
Except that we did a lot of post-production and production at the same time. We were editing as we were filming it. We were doing voiceovers as we were filming it. But, you know, a lot of stuff like the sound and the music and stuff, that has to be done last.
So, what's left? After, okay, so we've done all this work already. Now it's music, which is pretty much the last step. How much more music do you have to write? And
what comes after you're done with the music?
I'm hesitant to say how much as music has been done already, also because I haven't exactly totaled up, like, the time at all. In my opinion, I'm guessing close to a third.
I mean, I would say that's about right. Kevin and I have, since we finished voiceovers, what Kevin and I do is Lane will work on something, edit it, whatever. We'll come over and watch it and give our notes. And so we've been coming over and watching some of what Lane has been doing and seeing how the music fits in. And we've seen a significant chunk of the film with music in it. And it is fantastic, is all I have to say. Yeah. So I don't know how much, maybe a third sounds about right. And then, yeah, what comes after the music? I can answer, but I'll let you answer.
Thank you. So once all the music has been composed, and even once it's been put into the timeline, excuse me, I had a little burp there, things still aren't done. Because now we have the dialogue, sound effects, and the music that we've all done independently of each other. And so laying all those tracks on, it's not going to sound too great. So they have to be adjusted and mixed so that all the volume levels are correct and nothing is, like, no dialogue is obscured by music or sound effects. And
now,
you can hear stuff.
You've been doing a little bit of that as you've been editing, I would say, right? Not like the scene is mixed, it's done, but you're, like, making sure that things are roughly sounding good, right?
Yeah.
At least so that when we come over, we can hear everything.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that would be the final step.
So then that's
before exporting the bad
I would say there's sort of one more thing that I think people don't know about and is really interesting, is that Lane has been using different editing programs to edit this. Right, he used Final Cut Pro and Adobe Premiere.
Yeah.
And so we have all these little different scenes, but they're not all in one project yet, right?
They weren't until now.
Okay, so you've put them all together now.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so that doesn't need to be done then.
No. So for the scoring things, all the sequences had to be put in line so that it could be figured out where music has to go and such. So it is now in a timeline, but yeah, we have kind of jumped a bunch of programs. A lot of that has to do with because Final Cut Pro, the version I was using was an older version. So that's what I used to do all of the sequences independently of one another. But when it came time to syncing that back up with sound and stuff, there's some things that it kind of had some trouble with. And not to mention, also, as far as video-wise, there are some things that Premiere can do that Final Cut can't.
And I don't know if you mentioned it, but you're also using Logic. Did you mention that?
In an update video I did.
Yeah, I know we talk about update video, but Logic is Apple's big sound
program.
Yeah. It's like Final Cut is their big editing program.
Professional version of iMovie. Yeah. Logic is a professional version of GarageBand, exactly. You could say.
Yeah. So that's what I've been using for putting in all the sound effects and also doing the music.
So, there you go. That's how much we've done, how much we have left. As you can see, not very much. You won't have to wait too much longer. We don't want to give, like, an exact date or time yet.
We've wised up about that.
Big picture, so much has been done. There's so little left to do. It's going to take some time. You know, the movie's not done yet, but an enormous majority of the work is far behind us.
Especially compared to where the movie was a year ago.
Last time we did a podcast, we were still filming it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can confidently say you will have seen the movie by Christmas.
I think that's a safe.
I'm not going to say Thanksgiving, but Christmas.
Yeah. No definitive stance on that yet.
Maybe before Thanksgiving, but not going to say definitely. Now, are you guys wondering, well, you've talked about the movie so much, what is the movie about? Well, see, that's a great question. And guess what? We're not going to tell you what it's about yet. I will say it is an epic adventure, but I'm not going to tell you the story.
It's a story that we've had an idea for a long time, for years, since, like, seasons and seasons ago.
I'm pretty sure we explained a bunch of this on the past podcast.
The documentary will tell you.
Yeah, and maybe by the time you see the theatrical trailer, you'll have a better idea of what the movie's about. But as of right now, you have no idea, and I love that. Yeah. I like that the three of us know, and you don't.
The teaser was meant to show you bits of the movie without giving anything away, as teasers do.
I can say, while I think the theatrical trailer, whenever it does come out, while it will reveal more of the structure of the movie, I think it's still going to be left a little bit vague.
I would compare it to The Force Awakens. Do you remember how when they were releasing the teasers and trailers, you could see what was going on, but you had no idea what the story was?
What the context
was?
Of.
Yeah. It's going to be like that.
And then the first sentence came out and said, Luke Skywalker has vanished, and you're like, oh, this is going to be cool.
Yeah, because...
I'll say, you know, towards the beginning of the Marvel movie, you'll be able to say, oh, okay, now I know it's bad.
And it's worth comparing to Star Wars again, in that when we see the movie, like, we come over, right, and we see bits of the movie.
By the way, this is not me saying this. I'm impartial in this.
Yeah.
Even though it's a great compliment.
Yeah. Lane knows what I'm going to say. It feels like watching Star Wars.
And it feels like watching it for the first time.
Yeah, every time we see it, it's like, wow, this is like the first time I'm seeing it. It feels so cool every time. I think, like, when the first time we saw The Force Awakens, I have never had another movie theater experience like that. It was just amazing. But seeing this movie reminds me of seeing The Force Awakens for the first time.
Reminds
it feels like seeing an epic adventure where you know the characters and everything, but you've never seen it like this before.
Yeah, it reminds me of the feeling I got watching The Force Awakens for the first time. And like I told Lane and Kevin recently that I think that Pirates of the Caribbean is a little bit better of an analogy than Star Wars to the Marvel movie because it's got a comical main character, and yet you can still have these huge action pieces and, you know, total brutal villains, and that's what our show is like, and I think that's what our movie is like too. You know, Marlon the Elite is a comedy movie, it's a comedy show, so the movie, yeah, it's funny, but it's also an epic adventure.
See, now the movie to me, it doesn't feel like Pirates.
It doesn't feel like Pirates. That's a good analogy.
It feels to me more like watching Star Wars, but then again, Lane is so influenced by Star Wars that I think he doesn't even realize what he's doing sometimes. And sometimes he does realize that he is, yeah, I'm trying to make that a little bit like Star Wars, sure. Yeah. Are you going to notice it? Maybe you will.
At least once.
So,
are there direct references to Star Wars? I would say there are indirect references to Star Wars. How about that?
That's a good way of saying it. Just really quickly finishing up what I was saying.
Sorry, as far as, I keep interrupting you. I'm sorry that I keep interrupting you.
Yeah, how dare you keep interrupting me with praise? for the theatrical trailer, it'll still be a little vague, like the Star Wars analogy that Kevin gave. Because I hate trailers that give away what the movie's about and everything that happens in it. Mm-hmm. I'd like you to kind of find out what's happening as the movie unfolds, as it was kind of designed to do. I don't want to spoil, really, that. So you will get some reveals with the theatrical trailer, but still not too much.
Do you, because I don't know, do you know what you're going to put in the next trailer?
So I've come up with a structure in my mind.
Do you have, like, some shots that you have earmarked and whatnot?
I do. Also, especially when designing, I guess, like a theatrical trailer, sound and dialogue are kind of important bits. Because
I think there was only one line in the teaser, right? Ding dong.
Yeah. So I definitely have some of that in mind, and how that could fit together.
So. You know, what we've tried to do with the clips that we've picked at is show you some stuff, you know, that's spoiler-free, so you can see what the movie looks like, what it sounds like, but you still don't know what it's about.
Yeah, it doesn't give away any major
it's,
plot
it's
points.
It's cool, but it's vague.
So, that's a lot of info for you guys to digest. I think there's only one more thing that I can think of that I'd like to add before we close out the podcast. Who knows if we'll have another podcast before the movie comes out?
I doubt it.
Knowing us, probably not. But
update video, perhaps.
But yeah, so obviously movie has a lot of elements to it. You know, all the visuals and the sound and stuff. But it's also, there's parts of the movie that aren't necessarily the movie itself. There's also, you know, with all movies, they have, you know, big, you know, like promotional stuff. And that inevitably includes a movie poster.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie needs a movie poster. And Marlon Delete the Movie is no exception. So,
by the way, did Lane just reveal the official title? Or had we already revealed it? Either way, that is the title.
I think we reviewed that before.
So there is a poster for this movie that I've worked up.
Yeah.
And
with little tiny notes from us, although we really didn't do anything.
Kevin and I have seen it in its early stages, we've seen it in its final stage, and I will say it's cool. I like it.
Do you guys know who Drew Struzan is? Because he made the poster. Just kidding.
If only. But
well, he's the movie poster guy. He like draws the Star Wars and Indiana Jones ones. Okay.
Cool.
He's the Steven Spielberg of movie posters. And that he's done Steven Spielberg movies.
I guess you could say Lane drew some inspiration from Drew, what's his name?
Struzan.
To make the Marlon poster.
I hope so. I hope that comes across.
If you guys haven't noticed, I can pull almost any name out of nowhere. Kyle calls me walking IMDb. I had to ask Andy Samberg, but like obviously I know his name. That was just a quick moment of forgetting. But I really do know.
That was getting a 404 error.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a movie poster for the movie, and we'll release that on social media and stuff. So follow us on there. We're still not sure when this is going to be revealed.
I can tell you it looks great.
Yeah?
It looks good.
So we hope that when it comes out, it will excite you for what's to come.
One more thing.
And also, look, you know, good.
One more thing I want to talk about the movie is, hey, who can I expect to see in the movie? Well, we've shown you some clips so far. Obviously, you know, there are returning characters, such as, obviously, Marlon, Lemon Man is going to be in it, Cotton Swab, his grandparents, mm-hmm. who've shown off. Are there any more returning characters? Well, maybe. Are there new characters?
Definitely.
Maybe. Yes, definitely. Obviously, yes. Well, there
if
are
you've
new
seen
characters.
The clips, you know, yeah, there are some new characters.
There are plenty of returning characters and new characters, and I think you will come to love the characters that we show off in the movie.
All right. So with that, I think we'll wrap it up. This is a very long podcast. I'm not sure how long it was compared to last year's.
Usually I think they're about an hour or so.
Yeah.
An hour and a half, 2 hours.
So if you want to keep up with what's going on with us more often than on YouTube, you can go to our Facebook page. That's probably the next best place to go besides YouTube, is facebook.com/Thomas Productions. That's sort of where we automatically post pictures and you know, text updates. That gets forwarded to our Twitter account, but it doesn't always, you know, format properly and stuff. So
if you want to know when we post new Facebook posts, follow our Twitter.
Yeah. We are on Twitter at Thomas Pro Inc. Again, that's Thomas Pro ink.
Have you guys ever wondered who the Thomas is in Thomas Productions? If you've ever wondered, I don't want to reveal it just now. Maybe okay. Lane does.
No, I don't. Okay. So you can follow us on there. Again, we don't really post there too often as far as unique posts, but if we put anything on Facebook, you'll get notified through Twitter. And then, again, there's always our website, thomasproductionsinc.com. We haven't really done anything with it, and admittedly, for a website in the year 2017, it's not all that great.
In the year 2007, it was great.
You know, it looked good. It was like, wow, we have a website that looks like a website, and now it's like, we have a website that looks like a website from 10 years ago.
But
it's kind of cluttery.
But hey, you know, it's do what you can with not spending any money. but it is a good hub to go to if you want to find some more about us. There's links to our wiki.
Yeah, and you can watch all the episodes of Marvel and the Elite on there, including the ones that have been taken down.
That's the big thing, is all of the past episodes 1 through 30... you can still get to through our website.
Yeah, you guys might think like, oh, they're gone forever. Oh, only those highlights versions that we put on YouTube are up. No, you can watch the original ones.
With the original stolen music.
Yeah, you just have to go to our website.
Yeah, so...
they're not gone forever.
Yeah. So, you can go there, go around, look at stuff, and...
are they the best episodes we ever made? I don't think
that's
so.
That's not up to us. It's up to you. I think the best episodes we made are the more recent ones.
They might be... I think some of the fondest episodes be included.
They were fresher ideas that we weren't running out of ideas yet.
And the ones where we introduce all the classic characters from Marlin to Lemon Man to Conswab to Corey to his grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
And the running... $600 billion joke was introduced in the second episode.
Now, see, a lot of those old episodes are where the fresher ideas came from, because in the later episode, we'd be like, oh, we've done that already, you know? Like, you try and think of something, you're like, oh.
I feel like when we are kind of trying to come up with ideas for episodes, you guys would say something, and then I'd kind of have to... One of us would say, like, oh, we've already done that.
I remember specifically, I said, oh, you know what we should do? We should do, like a lot of good ideas come from spoofing things. And I said, we should do a spoof of, like, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And I didn't realize that we had done our first community...
Fan episode
was a spoof of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Where we used the song The Candyman Can.
Yeah. Now, so, if you are wondering... Again, like I said before, what's the movie about? I'm not going to tell you. Now, if you think like, oh, is there one thing they've never done? Maybe that's what the movie is about. And if you're thinking, oh, yeah, it's a spoof of Wizard of Oz. They haven't done that. Yeah, that was something I thought about doing, but I hadn't realized that we already did kind of make another. It wasn't a Marlin episode, but we did kind of a hybrid live action, hybrid Halo Reach.
Machinima.
Did we release that on YouTube?
I think we did.
It's on my channel. It's not on...
Oh, okay.
The TP channel.
Okay. Yeah, I know I watched that recently, and I thought it was really funny, the high five at the end.
So, no, the movie is not a spoof of Wizard of Oz. Spoilers! Funny. Sorry, Lane. I gave it away what it isn't.
It's a bummer. Well, on that bummer note, I think we'll wrap this up. As usual, and always will be, I'm Lane.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Kevin.
And see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the TP Cast. If you like the show or hate it with your guts, please let us know by sending us an email at thomasproinc@gmail.com, subject line podcast, or leave us a voicemail at 208-474-2690.
If you would like to find out more about this podcast or about Thomas Productions, please visit our website at thomasproductionsinc.
thomasproductions.com.
You can also follow our production updates on Facebook and Twitter at facebook.com/thomasproductions and twitter.com/thomasproinc. Please note that all non-original content featured in this podcast is the sole property of their respectful owners. On the other hand, all original content featured in this podcast is the sole property of Thomas Productions, Inc. It should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of Thomas Productions, Inc. Although, let's face it, they usually do. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The TPCast. Thank you.